A Working Museum is the title of the new Amy Rigby and no, it's the I'm sorry, it's the Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby album, because Reckless Eric was here and he said, "Y'all tell you calling us the wrong thing." So don't refer to them as Amy Rigby and Reckless Eric. It's Reckless Eric ampersand Amy Rigby. That's how they want. They said that's the name of the band. So my apologies. They came. They're just delightful folks. They're fun. And they've got this new record out, and they played a few songs from it, and we talked, and here it is. They were in Studio A, which is where I usually do the show. We have a second performance studio upstairs, Studio B, but that was booked, so they just came, and so it's the sound mix is not quite as fine as it is, but I think there's a nice live spirit to it. You can always check, by the way, wfmu.org/Michael for information about upcoming podcasts and the archives of all my past programs and guests, etc., etc. Okay, here they are. Reckless Eric ampersand Amy Rigby. Boy, what a crazy show it's been. Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby are here. They are alive and live in Studio A for a change. Good morning, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Hello. I'm all right. I'm fine. I can't see you because of that screen.
I'm going to move it a bit. There you go.
You're more good looking than I thought in real life. Well,
thank you very much. You're not so bad yourself.
Too handsome for radio.
We can talk later. Yeah, a face for something. You've got a new record out called A Working Museum, and we've been hearing from it, and you've been traveling around. You've just recently moved back to America from France. How is life? Are you ready for the holiday season?
Gosh, we're already cursing the Christmas music that they play. We feel like we're back in the swim of things in the U.S.
Yeah. It'll be our second Christmas here.
And different from, it's not quite as Dickensian as you're used to, perhaps, or?
No. I mean, it's the same everywhere, really. You know, the music in here is frightful, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it drives you mad, really. It's much funnier here than it is anywhere else, though. For me, it is. I mean, I think America is fantastic. I love living here. And I think it's funny as well.
He loves it because all the ladies in the Price Chopper and in the Home Depot.
Oh my God, I could listen to you all day.
They love that accent. Just keep talking. I don't even care what you're saying.
Oh, we were in Louisiana on this woman. I was at a reception at a hotel, and she said, "I just love your accent." Oh my God. "Well, I love yours." She said, "I don't have an accent, honey." Oh, right, okay.
That's funny. You've got a gig tonight in Hoboken, New Jersey at the establishment called Maxwell's.
Like coming home.
What will the folks see if they've never seen the two of you together? What is a show like? I mean, I know that it is indeed a show you put on, really.
Two fairly decrepit people.
Yeah, no, it's a show with a massive
hobbling
amount of scenery and costume changes and a live buffalo at one point.
We have a very shabby looking cardboard sign that we've been carting around the whole country. It's our stage set, and it's getting more and more.
It's a working museum, flimsy. And it's got an arrow on it, and it sort of points to us on a good night. And apart from that, I play the guitar and the bass, and Amy plays electric. She's the multi-instrumentalist, really, aren't
you? I'm the utility player.
The utility guy.
I don't play anything that well, but I play them all. No, the guitars and also the keyboard, the piano, the organ.
And there's a little bit of drum machine once in a while, I believe?
We've got the odd silly bit of a beatbox and a bossa nova kind of thing going on here and there, and odd loops and stuff.
Yeah, the last time we played at Maxwell's in March, the thing stopped working and we had to do the whole show au naturel.
That was quite fun, actually, because we were playing songs that we hadn't played for years and going, "Do you think we could play this one?" And like, everyone liked that, you know. I mean, I think sometimes the thing is that we kind of walk a line between slick and a complete mess. You know, so sometimes if we get too much of a mess, people don't like that. But if we get too slick, they don't like that. So we have to balance it out somehow.
We have to walk that line. Yeah.
You're both creative geniuses. You're both songwriters of the first order, and both writing songs no one else could write but either of you, and you know, your signature is so on all of your songs. Is it hard to obey the muse when you live together in a house? I mean, don't bother me now, I'm writing a song, you know? I mean, is it tough?
We try to adhere to, and there's this book about Southern California and all the creative stuff that went on there in the 60s, and we try to stick to what they said about Joni Mitchell and Graham Nash.
What did they say?
It was like a question of who got to the piano first in the morning, but I can't play the piano, and the piano's up in Amy's room.
And it doesn't
anyway.
Have a plug right now.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I'm trying to set that up for, you know, I mean, like, we got this piano. We actually bought it over from England. It was a fan whose mother was like living in a granny flat at their house, and she passed away, so they had this electric piano that simulates a real piano, and I found a way of recording it actually and making it sound really pretty good, but
we haven't switched the plug over to an American plug yet, so it's just sitting there getting dusty.
No, it's on the new album. When it was downstairs in the studio, it was on there, but you know, to avoid this kind of race for the piano in the morning, which you can imagine could get quite violent.
Yeah,
I mean, Joni Mitchell, she's a big girl, really. You imagine her rushing down the stairs like with clouting Graham Nash, trying to get him out of the way of the piano.
I can, yeah. Jackson Brown would be toast, or, you know, one of those little guys. Yeah.
I mean, like, so we wanted to avoid that ever happening.
So we just kind of work. I don't know. We don't do
anything.
We don't
have a schedule of kind of working. I mean, we are the most slap-happy people. Well, I mean, we work a lot, but we're not kind of dedicated craftspeople or something like that. We just do it.
Not John Hyde. I'm going to write 3 songs today at 12 noon in my office, and don't bother me.
One at 12, one at 3, and one at 5. Yeah, I mean, I tend to do that, you know, but only on odd days.
What would you like to play us a song here? I've got you. You've got your guitars, and you've set it all up.
We're ready to go.
We could write one in front of you.
I'd like to. Please
that
do.
That would be hilarious.
What have you got? What up your sleeve?
This one. So I guess that's the thing. Like, both of us have written so many songs at this point. It seems like, why pollute the world with more? There's so many. But every now and then, you know, something happens or something just feels like it needs to be said, and so this was on the day that both Hazel Dickens and polystyrene passed away, and so this song came out of that.
And it's off air.
It's
new
from the new
record. Yeah, so this is the skiffle version.
Yes.
Right, okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Shall I start it, or do you want
you,
you,
you
no
you
I,
start,
you start it, you count it in or something. Oh, yeah.
Oh, am I supposed to count them?
Yeah. Oh, go on.
1, 2, 3, 4. When the news came down, I was outside walking around. Take my ear away from the ground for just 1 minute, then everything changes. Oh, they said you were gone. It won't do any good to protest, but there's a heavy feeling in my chest. So I'll say this to the rosebush and the hydrangeas. Rebel girl, took the ring like a neon champ. Dealt the blows while you held the lamp to make the place a little brighter. Rebel girl, off the ropes and you hit the mat. But you could go the one better.
tragic and tender, and I wish I could play, but it's tearing me up today. The nagging question that won't go away, what they mean when they say could have been a contender. Top like a weather vane. You're everywhere the wind blows. Rebel girl, rebel girl. Did your bit, then you left the stage. Wipe the slate and you turn the page. I wanna thank you.
Sound of two hands clapping there. Wow. I think it sounds all right. I mean, maybe you can back off a tiny bit on your vocal
mic.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, sorry.
But
sorry.
Just you're getting that Chuck Berry tape slam thing going on.
A little bit of distortion. Going on.
That's good.
Tell me how this record was made. I sort of know.
You've only got a promo copy.
Well, we're a radio station. That's what we get.
That's terrible.
We've got a real one for you.
We've got,
The record, A Working Museum. You were just sort of talking about how you make records. Tell the public how you make them.
Well, I believe you get a piece of plastic and you put it on this hot
You know what I mean.
I'm actually kind of, I suppose I was an early pioneer of home recording. I stopped making records in real studios in the 80s because it was too depressing. You'd go in there and like they'd have rules and they'd make the kick drum sound like someone flicking a credit card into a microphone. And engineers were saying, they talk like that, and they're very self-important people. And then there were producers, and they were even more self-important, and nobody really seemed to know what they were talking about. So I found it very depressing. And I had this collection of junk and a four-track machine and various stuff, and just started making records in village halls and basements. And I made one album at home in the living room, and I got evicted from the apartment afterwards.
I've made records every way possible, but on a four track in the bathroom, and that was the last roundup started that way, and in a fancy studio, and I don't know, we just Eric has a really great way of working. Like, he said he doesn't do a lot, but he actually works really many, many hours just doing tiny, tiny little moving things around like a painter would. It always seems to me like something, if you're paying
detail
for a big studio, you never really have time to do that type of thing. And so he puts a lot of work into the details, and sometimes the details really make such a difference.
I worked with these techno people in England in the late 90s, and that really changed the way, because they don't see it as like you have a song and then you have to go through this terrible thing of dealing with technology to get that across. The technology, the noise is the medium. And one of them said to me, like a quite a famous English DJ said, the trouble with songwriting is that it can sometimes get in the way of making music. Not that they were anti-songs, they were just totally open. And sometimes you go into a session and they go, okay, make a noise. And they would take whatever you did and work with it. And then they say, okay, add to it, add to this. And so the noise was the medium.
Yeah.
And if you kind of apply that to songwriting, all a song is, right, a record is a formal arrangement of noises. Some of them you might make with your mouth and the the form of those noises came from your brain in the form of words or whatever, but it is noises. That's all it is. That's what you're dealing with.
Oh, that's getting way too metaphysical for me.
I don't know, is it metaphysical or something else, or metatarsal or something?
I wanted muscular. To take a minute to thank you for contributing to the super hits of the 70s, which turned out to be the most popular DJ Premium this year.
Wow.
And your
God,
version.
That was hellish recording.
Your version
song,
of the Guitar Man is,
oh,
yeah. is just
We almost
genius.
Gave up so many times.
Yeah, we were
going to
give up on it. And we go, no, I mean, who won? Anyway, it's
we
not
said,
working.
Why did we pick this song?
But we played it once in the kitchen. We were just mucking about. And like, I was playing the bass, and I played the entire solo from Brett's Guitar Man. On the bass guitar without actually meaning to, and I could never do it again. But we ended up with that version. But it's kind of eerie, really.
It is, for
and
sure.
And it's like, that's, I don't know, so I said to people, oh, we're doing this version of Guitar Man by Brett, and they said, what are you doing that for? Yacht rock. And that's the first time I heard the term yacht rock.
But in the middle of recording it, I just felt like so into the song and thinking like this song just goes so deep. But when you've heard the Bread version so many times, you just don't even hear it anymore. Like it seems so, you know, throwaway. So kind of.
I think that band is a little bit underrated or undertaken.
I love
seriously.
That other
band.
One, Trucking Down the Highway. Do you know that one?
I don't think so.
And it's almost like it's got mistakes on it. He's singing trucking down the highway. Do you know that one? I don't know any more of it than that. I always listen to it.
Oh, it's the one where he wants to meet a wealthy woman so that he can keep plying his trade as a guitar man.
Or he can actually stop doing that and just be a layabout.
So Harry Shearer was on earlier, and he said that the film Spinal Tap has still not broken even. They still haven't made a profit on that movie, which only cost $2 million to make. Here we are 20 years later. They haven't made any money.
Really?
Yeah. So did Stiff Record, you were on Stiff Records in the early days. Was that a label that paid? Did you ever make money?
Not in those days, no. But later on, I did actually get paid. It was quite shocking. I mean, like, my first royalty check that I ever got, I mean, I got some publishing royalties, but my first record royalty check, I got sometime in the mid-90s. I have a photocopy of the check at home. It's for about £360.
Wow, so 20 years later, well, at least...
£365.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so I did start getting paid, and now I do get paid, and it's fabulous. I don't know if I've broken even, but... I don't know, it's weird. I suddenly thought, I actually, like, Whole Wide World, it was a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, there's one...
It keeps being a hit, really,
just,
on YouTube.
I looked
so
at one of the YouTubes, and there was 1.5 million hits on it. You know, and I'm thinking, this is really weird. Like, I mean, you know, I thought, who's interested, you know?
Great. So, I mean, who's interested in Good Lovin' by the Rascals? Everybody is, you know. Great songs like that will just keep going for forever and ever. And that's a song that's been covered 1 million times because it's one of those, like Amy songs, too. They're just at the bones of them. You can play them in your kitchen with an acoustic guitar, or you can play them, arrange them, and play them with a band. You know, they're just very easy to adapt to human people. You know, the emotions are both from a point of view, but also universal. It's all the good things of songs right there. Speaking of songs, can you play us another number one hit song? What have you got up your sleeves?
We can play you one from our first album that we did together, which we made in 1943 in the basement of a derelict house in bombed-out London, etc. Yeah, okay. It's called Another Drive-In Saturday. What, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready, yeah, okay. I hope this will be all right. I remember when I was young, the was green. If I fell, then I didn't make the scene. Well, at least I tried.
Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby are playing tonight at Maxwell's in beautiful Hoboken, New Jersey. And you've got a gig next Saturday in Troy, New York, at a place called the Ale House.
For our folks
listening up at...
Interesting place.
I wonder if we can get you up there. I never seem to be able to.
I don't even know where Troy is exactly.
It's about 30 miles north of us. It's next to Albany. It's the state capital.
I've heard of Albany, yeah. Will there be solo LPs from you guys in the future, or will you only make...
Yeah.
There will be. In fact, a company called Fire Records is about to... They're re-releasing a lot of Eric's kind of hard-to-find records that came out in the 80s, the 90s.
My entire back catalog.
So we're going to have to break up the group for a while, and...
You're going to go tour as yourselves.
Yeah, I mean that way, you know, we can earn twice the money and nearly make a living.
We share one vehicle now, but we also share one, you know, often paltry fee for what we do. Yeah. So yeah, if we could do that, like him do it in one place and me be not in the same town. I think it'd be better if we started opposite ends of the country. But
it's I got kind of blow hot and cold on it because like I really like us playing together.
I do too.
I love playing with Amy. I mean, it's like for someone like me, it's like we would always have a band and they would have to do what I told them to do, or I'd be dragging them along and it's like hard work, and or they're very supportive or whatever, but you know, I never had anybody who did lead vocals where I would harmonize with them.
And
then sometimes I don't know who's doing the lead vocal.
We do just have a great time playing together. And I don't know, we were playing in a kind of singer-songwriter type place last night. And I thought, like, I have been so changed from playing with Eric. Because in the past, I probably would go play a place like that and kind of put up with their crappy sound and the pathetic sandwich that they gave, you know, like, and now, I don't know, I mean, he's a rock star, you know, like,
I'd
introduce
you to the no, I mean, I have this attitude, you know, oh, for God's sake, you know, I mean, who's going to have a good time? The tables and chairs, they're all turned so that people are like at right angles to the stage looking at each other. They're supposed to be looking at us, that's what you come for, you know. I mean, like, I've always found it difficult because I'm not... someone said, describe your music as roots and you'll do well. And I'm going, but it's not. You know, I mean, and they say, well, what is it? And they go, it's pop. And they say, well, you can't do pop. And I'm going, well, it's what it is. I'm a pop musician. We play pop music. I mean, which is a bit deluded. You know, I'm 58. I'm too old to be a pop star. But I'm an antique pop star.
I just found this. It was, you know, the sandwich I can deal with, but the sound, you know, like when you're kind of just dealing as a singer-songwriter, you kind of like, oh, well, they can hear the lyrics
every
and they can
nuance.
Really, but it was just the general sound, like we didn't sound like us, and I don't think I was quite as aware of that, how, you know, just the total impact that volume can and
it's not
and
just kind of volume
depth, something
we
like
get
depth
loud
to the
we
music
get quiet.
That a lot of
dynamics.
They don't deal in that. You know, like it's not like you stand behind a Martin acoustic guitar, and you know, apart from having to be there, with your minor inconvenience, it's going to do it all for you. You know, and your talent will do the rest of it. You know, but I mean, there's a lot to it. You know, I mean, someone should write a manual. Really,
can we hear another before we lose our clock?
Gosh,
what have you got?
Listeners,
what have you got teed up here?
Well,
Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby, their new record's called The Working Museum, and they're at Maxwell's in Hoboken tonight.
I have this stupid thing here that's...
we're going to put a little beat...
Yeah, if I can switch
on
this
and play this
thing
song
on
that's,
again.
It's a song, this. Our history, and...
I don't know if we're going to, actually, unless I can make this thing... Oh, it's switched on again. We have this thing, I've thrown it across a couple of club stages in the past... Yep, okay.
This is the story of how we got together.
It will be in a minute. I've just got to find this thing. This is instead
very
of taking
high
tech. This is as low tech as high tech gets. Yeah. In a minute.
I can't believe I refer to you as a rock star and here you are.
There you go.
With this little iPad. It was a cold December night. I was sorting out my life. You were heading for a mess, but you didn't know it yet. As I pushed in through the crowd, you were turning your amp up loud, and our eyes met. Do you remember that? Then 11 months go past. I'm stuck in Cleveland pumping gas. When you call me on the phone, said you were back to living on your own. I celebrated in my head, laughing at everything you said. Then the battery went flat. Do you remember that? Do you remember Glasgow? Until we next met up, you had me over for some tea, and we played guitar. So me and Bobby McGee danced to Crazy Elephant, wondering where the bad times went. You changed my life in seconds flat. Do you remember that?
Said that I should stay away from you, but I didn't listen. You took me out for a steak and we heard PPR. No, you drove your car the wrong way down a one-way street. free. What am I missing? The way it all began in Hull. You wrote a song so magical. I learned it halfway around the world and wish that I could be your gale. You're the tango liked it too. But as for Je t'aime one on blue, that New Year's Eve they backed us up. We really whooped it up. Together we were crap. Do you remember that? I can't believe they asked us back. They don't remember that.
Yep. With the beat.
And even the drummer stopped at the correct time. Reckless Eric and Amy Rigby, new records called A Working Museum tonight. They are at Maxwell's in beautiful Hoboken, New Jersey. I want to thank Harry Shearer for being on the program. Don't forget, he is tomorrow at the City Winery. His website is harryshearer.com. For info about Can't Take a Hint, his new record, or about his holiday sing-along in Chicago, L.A., and New Orleans. And don't forget Bambi Kino tonight, The Rumor tonight. It's a tough night, but Maxwell's for New Jersey people, Amy Rigby and Reckless Eric. Check out amyrigby.com or recklesseric.com. Thank you, guys. It's been fun. Sounds great. Really a ride. And Todd will be in next week for me because I'll be in Mexico.
Ooh.
A little more oohing and aahing, something, please.
Why?
I don't want to go.
Rex looks very jealous.
What are you going there for?
What are you going there for? Oh, boy. I'll tell you all about it. I'm into drug smuggling, mostly. No, not really. Tonight, Maxwell's. What time does the show start, do you know?
Early, 7 p.m.
Oh, that is terrific.
Yeah, so
you come
on,
to this one and then go
the
to all the other That's
You absolutely can. Eat dinner at Maxwell's and goof off.
Yeah, 7. We'll be out of there by 9.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you there, folks.
Thank you.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Good night.
WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and WFMU.org.